come so much.
We're rolling. Be quiet.
New Dissident Radio.
Listen before it's illegal.
This is Kirk Cameron, and I rape children on The Ardent Atheist.
You're not Kirk Cameron, and Kirk Cameron doesn't rape anybody.
He might just rape a little. Maybe just the tip. Maybe it's a biblical rape. It's a metaphorical rape. It's a spiritual rape, Emery. He spiritually raped me.
This is supposed to be a two-second drop.
And welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the Intertubes, and from those banned Facebook cleavage pics. You can find links to our guest's website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Joe Swam, go to the Facebook page for Ardent Atheist, like our page, and join in. We might use your statements in the live broadcast, so join Joe there now.
And please go to the iTunes and subscribe to our podcast, write a review, and help us get in the top 10.
Do it now!
Yeah. We only have a couple of rules on our show. Rule number one.
Guests may plug anything as they want, as long as they slip it in when I'm not looking.
And rule number two... What?
Nothing.
Rule number two. If you are a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, you pedantic word Nazi. In the studio today, we have Amy Englehart, Alex Stein, and David Avalone. And coming to us live via Skype, we have Eric Ransom. You know these folks from Showbiz. Thanks for being here, everyone.
Hello.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So fun, really.
I have never timed the music that well, actually. That
was beautiful.
Incredible.
You went right to the post. It was awesome.
Yeah, and now I'm ruining it by talking about it.
Yeah, that's what you do.
No, it's just a little meta.
That's what you do.
I'm sorry.
Don't make me say the unt word. We're going to start right off, by the way. We're going to...
Untoward?
It's my least favorite cake.
Unt? We're going to start off. We're going to start the show off with Eric Ransom. This gentleman is actually friends with Heather, if I'm not mistaken. You know him personally, right?
I know him from this play. I got invited to go to this to his musical. It was a workshop, I think. I'm not really sure. You can explain to me what exactly I was invited to, Eric. What?
That was the initial stage reading.
Okay.
It's called Coming, a rock musical of biblical proportions.
And since Heather saw it.
I had to go see it just because of the name, you know?
although we do spell it C-O-M-I-N-G.
God damn it.
It's just the ejaculate reference is just implied.
Well, for the record, that's the proper spelling of ejaculate.
Well, that is also true.
It's only slang. It's slang when you it.
Not according to Alan Cumming.
I don't trust
Thank
Alan,
you.
Especially when he's coming.
Get out of the way.
Well, he's not the MC tonight.
Exactly. So, Eric, I really, really, really enjoyed what I saw online of this play. And I understand, first of all, a couple of things I want to ask you about it. Give me a little synopsis of it. What is the play about?
Well, I was kind of coming at it from
so to speak.
That comes up a lot. But I was kind of thinking about a lot of politicians, obviously, who are in power now and coming to prominence, as we see in the Republican debates especially, really treat the Book of Revelation as if it is happening right now. And I kind of wanted to take a look at, well, if it is happening right now, how is it going to go down?
Right.
Because I don't see Jesus coming and preaching in the streets like he did before. We have Twitter. You know what I mean? So so my idea that kind of the notion, well, what is Jesus' base at this point? If Jesus came back, to whom is he speaking? And my idea was, oh, he'll go on American Idol. Which in the show we call American Icon, but he goes on and has this very like wholesome run on there, does very, very well. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, there's sort of a glam rock star pre-existing who is top of the charts, sort of like a like Lady Gaga is right now,
right.
Who turns out to be the Antichrist, and then it's sort of just the
like
Book of Revelations from there.
right.
Well played.
I'm not going to say that. But
and Jesus is so wholesome and like, you know, blonde hair, blue eye, and just like the kid right off the farm.
And from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
And from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Right. It gets pretty serious, too. I mean, right? You delve into some heavy shit.
Yes, yeah. The clip I believe you'll be playing in a bit is has to do with one of the concepts I came at it with was I wanted the Antichrist to not be spawned from hell. I wanted an Antichrist who was actually created by the believers, whose life was subjected to so many misfortunes as a result of religion and of religious people that he turned away from it in such a way that he actually declares war on God and on that belief in Jesus. So so that's one of the big elements. And
also a perfect setup for
God Hates Fags.
Can you hear all that?
I wasn't much more. So young when you left, who could destroy what I most adore? I guess I should have known that God hates fags.
Wow, it makes it sound so beautiful.
Yes, God took you away, did they ask the divine if they were doing his chore? They knew you were gay, did they know you were mine? Would it have stopped them from beating you more, my love, when God hates fags? God hates fags, so I hate God.
Wow.
I hate all his followers and their control, my heart and heart. I felt an explosion of fire in my soul. Of my love, and what had he done? Loved me for me, he was the only one. Then they took him away. They took him away, all the while screaming, God hates fags.
She see the hands going up in here.
God
the candles and the lighters are going on.
I've never been moved by that sentence as well as now. This is really awesome.
It's so moving.
Usually it pisses me off. It's really gorgeous. And it finishes really, really well. Here.
So I'll kill God.
Well, wow. Is that you, Eric?
That is me, yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's super cool. It's Gethsemane.
Nice. Very nice.
Do you have nightmares that the people at the Westboro Baptist Church will start singing that outside of...
Can I tell you, we actually sent a fake concerned Christian letter to them to try to get them to protest for marketing.
Right. Sure. We're not supposed to ever admit that we do that sort of thing, but yeah.
I know, but it's over. The production's over, so... this is much more offensive than the Laramie Project, and they protest that all the time. I'm literally saying, you know.
Right. Well,
that's great.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. And obviously, tell me a little about what inspired you to write this.
Well, there are a few things. I'm actually secular by upbringing. I was raised to say Gesundheit, not God bless you, because it, you know, just
because your parents hated Jews. Go on.
they hate God. I'm also by nature drawn to epics. Like, I'm like Lord of the Rings, Wagner, all that stuff. I love epics. And I thought, if I want to write an epic that's going to be as big and as moving as possible, what better mythology to use than one people actually still believe in?
Right.
Using biblical quotes, even to someone like me who wasn't raised with them, like there's a visceral feeling that I get when I hear them sometimes, and using them completely conversely to how they're intended, as I do a lot in this show,
right?
I think can be very powerful.
How does,
also,
go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say with that song and that aspect of the show, especially as a member of the queer community, I think a lot of people within the community take religion for granted and don't acknowledge how it affects them on a day-to-day basis. Thinking basically on the gay marriage debate, there's no rational argument against gay marriage. It's all based in this.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just, you know, my mother was this way, so I will continue with that without really thinking about it. And this show, I hope, will cause people to think about their situation and how mainstream religion affects it.
Yeah. You ran the production in Philadelphia. How did it go?
The reviews were unanimously positive.
Oh, good.
Local press was great. We also got mentioned in the Huffington Post. If you search our show or my name, it's Eric with a K, Ransom Like Being Held for Ransom. You'll find that.
I like that.
And I also had a lot of really nice personal messages on Facebook from audience members, and people would come up to me with amazing stories. One gentleman came up to me talking about his Southern Baptist upbringing and how the show enabled him to laugh at the God that he felt had been oppressing him for his entire life. He was in his 40s.
Nice.
And that was like a really, you know, moving thing for me.
Yeah. Every once in a while, Heather and I get a really nice email from someone, and it confirms that we're doing what we should be doing.
Absolutely.
And it's really confirming. We also get hate mail. Did you get any of that crap?
We got some. I didn't get any hate mail. We got like Bible tracts pushed under the door. We got a few walkouts.
Yeah,
Bible tracts. Did you keep them? Because I collect those.
I do. My favorite one that I got recently is celebrate the reason for the season, and I would just crossed it out so it said celebrate reason.
Nice,
nice,
really nice, very cool. Well, finally, I want to say that you are trying to raise money to take this to New York. Is that right?
This is true.
Well, let's tell the listeners what they can do to help this become a play in
absolutely.
New York.
Absolutely. We have a business plan. We're working toward it. Right now, what we're trying to do is set up a presentation for New York investors who would put forth the money to make it into a production with an indefinite run, which is our goal.
Cool.
And basically, we're just asking for donations, small, large, whatever you can afford. If you would like to see a show like this, we have a campaign going right now. I believe it will be linked on the Ardent Atheist website and Facebook. But it's an Indiegogo campaign. So it's Indiegogo.com. And if you search Coming, A Rock Musical of Biblical Proportions, it should come up. And yeah, so that's
it's already on the wall because Joseph Swam is just that great.
He's amazing.
I appreciate that, Joseph Swamis.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us about your production. We wish you the best of luck.
The opportunity.
We need to see more of this kind of thing in New York, because you know what? There's not enough pro-gay stuff in New York.
Well, there's not enough pro atheists.
Well, there are so few gay people in New York.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true. It's a
Sodom,
pretty provincial
it's called
town.
In the show, actually. Yeah. New Sodom.
Indeed.
New Sodom.
Well,
nice.
Good luck. Really, honestly, the atheist message is wonderful. And it was a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you very much. Everybody, let's say goodbye to Eric.
Bye, Eric.
Bye, Eric. Thank
give
you.
My regards to the whores on Commercial Avenue, Eric.
Goodbye, Eric. I hope to meet you on the East Coast.
Likewise.
See you, man.
Bye.
Oh, that was Eric. He's wonderful. That show is really phenomenal. There's a lot
sounds
of links,
great.
I'm sure, on the Wall of Reason. There's probably links being put up right now. So you can, after the show, listen to our show now, assholes. Stop clicking the links now. We're doing a show for you. But anyway, so to our in-studio guests, thank you, everybody, for being here.
Thank you.
Alex Stein
our
is
pleasure.
A second time back. Thank you again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And your lovely wife Amy is right next to you there.
Yes, and I was on. I was on Johnny Damm's show once with
Johnny Damm in Kansas City.
Yes, everything's up to date with him.
Hey!
That's my hometown, and I used to do his show a lot.
Oh, cool!
Wow.
And yeah, I came when Gary Stockdale and I, who's a local Los Angeles musician, we came out to discuss the Peep Show Trio, and we of course veered into critical thinking and things like that as well. So.
All right.
I had such a lovely time that I came back to New Dissident.
Excellent. Oh, Johnny Damm. Do you know what just played in my head? That's so weird. I just had
God
a brain fart. No. Oh, Johnny.
That played in my head, too. Oh, my God.
Right? We're psychic.
I have it on shuffle.
The number one. Johnny is the number one show in Kansas City, and I thought she was telling me a story about being in Kansas City, and I believe I'm going senile.
That's yeah, okay.
Johnny Damm runs our station.
Yeah,
he does.
Idiot.
Yes,
I'm a fucking idiot.
It was when they were operating out of his studio,
right?
His private studio,
his home.
Yes,
the studio his wife didn't care for.
Oh, is that what that was?
They had cats.
Well, we're not there anymore, are we?
In and out. Yeah. No, we're not. That's exactly right.
We are not in his spare bedroom anymore.
Right, damn.
But we still have the cats.
We can draw.
I know he left.
That's weird. The smell is.
They haven't been fed in like 4 months.
Yeah.
Now let's recap what you believe, Alex. Tell us what you believe or don't believe. I want to make sure the listeners on this time around understand where you're coming from.
Okay, I do not believe in a traditional God. Last time I was here, I was chided for being a pussy and not declaring myself an atheist. And
I think fag was the term I used.
And saying perhaps
and God hates fags.
Yeah. He does. I've heard that on shuffle. I do believe very strongly in the interconnectedness of things. I am not sure if that is just the way the universe is structured, and I don't ascribe that to an all-powerful, all-seeing guy or girl in the sky with or without a beard.
So agnostic, possible deist, is that where you kind of hang out? Or do you just hate labels, which is fine too?
I kind of hate labels. But
I hear you.
Yeah,
I
think I'd be more in the agnostic camp.
Mm-hmm. Amy, how about you?
I don't believe in anything except for trying to be a good person, getting a paycheck, and...
You ever pray that you'll get a good paycheck?
No. I don't pray.
Do you believe in both of those things at once?
Because no! Well, I do live in Los Angeles.
Very tricky.
And therein lies the problem. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. This shall tell you something. I'm a professional musician, singer, composer, lyricist, arranger. And often, as a side gig, when I wasn't touring, I would do religious gigs, and I still do them. I sing as a ringer, as a paid singer in temples and churches for different services. And this doesn't bother me one bit. However, I never say what the congregation says because to me that's crossing a line. And I thought you would find this interesting.
So what do you say?
Is I either just bow my head respectfully because I'm being paid by these people to be there.
And you're in their space.
And
that's
I'm
exactly
in their space,
right.
Exactly. But I'm being paid to sing. I'm not being paid to profess anything or state anything. And even if I'm doing it as part of their ritual, to me saying it makes it true.
Yeah.
Singing it doesn't.
I see.
Now, I don't know why that is, except that I'm being paid to sing it.
Yeah.
I was born Jewish, but I think it's Gary Stocktello who always says, hey, what's the definition of a Jewish atheist, a Jew? It's the same thing. It's like kind of the closest you'll get in an organized religion. But and I do find it comforting in a cultural sense to be in a temple, but not in a theistic sense.
Yeah.
And I've worked in temples. I was the resident soprano in a major temple in L.A. for a whole year.
Right.
And I'll sing the solos and I'll sing in any language and praise any god if you pay me to do so in song.
You whore.
I am. I'm totally. But that's why I always said I'm a total whore for other people's religions.
If
I
had known you were a whore, I'd have had you on the show a long time ago.
I was born on commercial street.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've ever known this, but I did that one time for a Christmas thing for a church.
Yeah.
And my friend who was a singer who already
worked
there.
Were you a believer at the time?
No.
Okay.
I put on a wig and tried to look normal and was like, oh, man. You know, and
you
I was the only
wig.
Soprano. It was like one other girl who was soprano and everybody else.
Yeah.
I walked in, there was all these old people looking at me like, oh, it's a new black lady. Oh. You know what?
We've really seen black
people
before.
They were all
before.
Old and white, like the kind of old men that you see walking down the street, and they're like, oh, God, McCain. There were those guys. Hallelujah. You know, it was those guys, and And yeah. I got paid, and I was laughing inside so hard the entire time.
It's just a gig. It doesn't mean anything to me when I do it, except, like, you know, the beauty of the music. Yes, I will emote, or I will phrase it, or, you know, put what's behind it, but yeah. It doesn't – I'm acting when I'm doing it, which is fine.
I had a good friend call me up and say, I want you to produce for me, and I'd worked with him before, and he was planning on doing a show where he was going to go shoot these stories that were supernatural in nature. And he always – and what he said was, when he watches these supernatural ghost story shows, they don't take it that one level further. And we are doing fantasy in television. Why the hell don't they take it one step further? In other words, his plan was to actually stage scenarios where – let's say there's a kid that's haunting a room, and the woman who has the house who's claiming the kid haunts the room says he never shows up when this door is open and there's any disturbance in the room. But he always presents himself to me when I'm in there. So she'll close the door and she'll claim that cameras are a problem.
Right.
So they'll pretend to turn the cameras off, set it on the floor, and then shoot under the door, and we actually see a kid's feet appear because now they're doing movie magic
right.
to support these lies.
Right.
And I turned down the gig.
Well, I always like to point out, I had some friends who used to be fans of the John Edwards show. You remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
And I always used to say to them, you get that it's on the Sci-Fi channel, right? Like, you're not watching it on it ain't on CNN. You are watching it on the Sci-Fi channel.
You could say that about the Discovery Channel as well.
Well, yes, and those get sillier and sillier.
Well, I love Sci-Fi. It's
the ninth time that the History Channel did something about the end of the world and the Book of Revelations, I went, okay, I never need to watch anything.
What's the TV show about
again?
The little people that are doing the dog thing?
Oh, yeah, the guys.
The Wizard of Oz?
No, Pit Boss.
Pit Boss.
No, not the Wizard. Not this
It was really neat when I saw Pit Boss. I'm like, wow, this is a show depicting little people living their lives very normally, doing normal things. No bullshit. They didn't have hats on with people eating out of them and shit and being thrown for money. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh, it's on the Animal Planet.
Oh,
that's really offensive. Really, wow, when you think
that's
about terrible. It.
Well, that's because there were pit bulls, not
well. People are animals
people.
Too.
Right. And for the record, they were half pit bull rescue agency, half a little person talent agency. So they did go out in costumes and jump around and act crazy.
And embarrass the fuck out of themselves for a tiny pittance that the pit boss was making more money than them.
Like they talked about how some of them wouldn't wear costumes, some of them would, and some of them loved it. Like, it was a matter of how they felt about it, you know. Do they feel like it's humiliating or not, you know?
Right. For a second, I thought you were going to say that they were half pit bull and half
little. Yeah, I was worried that that's where that was going as well.
Well, the pit boss is kind of like that crazy. Cunt of a man.
I would have watched that.
He's an asshole. I want to kick his ass, and I'm pretty sure I could take him.
Here's hoping.
I probably couldn't. He was in prison for 10 years. Amy, you have a great voice, in fact. And I mentioned my story because I wonder, you know, you are moving people when you do that. I mean,
yes.
You know what I mean?
I should hope so.
You're supporting a lie in that sense. I'm not going to pick on you. Go get your fucking money, in my opinion.
Well, yeah.
But
it doesn't bother me, though, like I said, because it's like, you know.
They are already in the store. They have already bought the – she's not out on the street recruiting.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, she's moving the people that have already bought in pretty large to be there.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And, you know, the truth is that religion inspired a lot of beautiful music and you know, no matter what inspired that music, you got to respect the product.
Well, and as well, I think you're doing damn fine work with songs like...
The trouble started when we started to talk. My husband Joseph and I went for a walk. He saw my belly and broke out in a sweat. He said,
how can you be pregnant? I ain't touched you yet.
I'd like to think I'm not the gullible type. Don't go for male exaggeration or hype. So when I tell you this, it's gonna sound odd. Portal for the Son of God. How did this thing get in me? Only God knows if I have Joseph, but apparently there's no guarantee. So how did this thing get in me? I'm educated as a shepherd's wife gets. I know where babies come from. I got pets. And Joseph spends all his free time with the sheep, but that's another subject. So now I'm thinking it was something I ate. I am a virgin, yeah, that ain't no joke. But just that's because I think my
my holy water just broke. How did this thing get in me?
Mary, mess with boys and you'll get trouble. When do I get to mess with boys? Back at the stable now, I'm starting to push. The cattle are lowing and there's hay in my tush. They give me frankincense and gold and some myrrh, but a good old epidural's what I'd really prefer. I couldn't make up more incredible things. There goes a trio of the holiest kings. And I believe them because I'm told that they're wise. Just north of my thighs. How did this thing get in me? Despite good behavior, I'm carrying the Savior. I'm overflowing with divinity. So how did this thing get in me?
Reminds me of a Hitchens quote, which actually was a quote of someone else. Well, I heard it from Hitchens. I think it was David Hume that Hitchens attributed the quote to. What's more likely, that a virgin should give birth or that a Jewish minx should tell a lie?
Yeah, but he would also say that I'm not funny.
Who?
Oh. Right. So right.
He did say that.
I mean, you know, it's because for all the wonderful and amazing writing that his, it's like I gotta go. I remember reading that Vanity Fair article and going, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's getting laid tonight?
I actually think that article was an attempt to get women to walk up to him at parties to try and make him laugh. I don't think he believed a fucking word of it. I think that was a. And also, I'm not an apologist for him. I think he was a complete idiot on the Iraq War and at
great. There were two things that I didn't agree with Hitchens.
Often and at length, he was an idiot about the Iraq War.
An asshole on Heather's Wall of Reason was all over us about Hitchens, and you get that. Somebody was complaining that her wall and Heather, when she talks on her wall, is like Fox News. It's just this one party line kind of thing, and it's absolute bullshit, actually, because I've said more than once, both on that wall, my own wall, and publicly, that Hitchens has his head up his ass about war. He's turned from a liberal into this warmongering moron.
Yeah. And I think that he really wanted to grow up and be George Orwell, and nothing like the Spanish Civil War broke out to help him with that. No, seriously. And I think he felt like less of a man. He grew up in that post-war
right.
British generation that really felt stupid for not having been in World War II like their dads.
Right.
You know, I was lucky. We had Vietnam for my mom to say, well, thank God you were too young for that, boy. Yeah. Jesus.
Well, he was becoming more of a conservative over time, and that's kind of what happens a lot. A fuck lot. It's really odd. And back to the wall, by the way, there was a guy, David Digital Dave Martinez, Martinez actually, who was
Martinez.
He's kind of a religious troll that frequents Heather's Wall of Reason, where discussions about religion take place a lot, every day, every hour, every minute. When he posted this, where is Christopher Hitchens, a few days ago? And of course,
that means, you know, well, where is he, huh?
Because he's dead.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's the answer. He's dead. We're done.
Which is
conversation.
Which is the answer. But
well, he puts he comments all over my wall and laughs and mocks the things that I say and then posts videos.
That's what trolls do.
Yeah. He is. It's all like childish, very childish.
And he lives under a bridge.
Well, a neat thing he does
near the wall.
Yeah.
Alex turns troll to literal. There's a lot of people like that on her wall, and I think it's really good because we're exposing the kind of ignorance that drives this thing. This whole religious belief bullshit is driven by that kind of crap. And I you know, what do you say? What do you say when a guy a few days after Hitchens dies? You know, where's your? He's saying, where's your God now? Basically, which is kind of funny, I think. But,
I'm like, no, we'll take it from here.
I'll tell you what I said to him. I said, Hitchens is in your psyche, needling away at your confidence, driving you to post nasty, insidious questions designed to confirm and support your Bronze Age fairy tale mumbo jumbo. But in reality, you're sitting there doing really nasty things to complete strangers during a time of sadness and mourning. So keep it up, Christard. Keep showing your insecurities. Keep trolling around like the small, insignificant, insecure troll that your belief system has eroded you into. We will be right here grinning ear to ear. knowing that Hitchin's work will live on for generations to come, reminding millions to question their beliefs and stand up and be counted, so that worms like you will eventually be forced onto tiny swaths of harmless land, where you are free to drop to your knees and give your life to a God that never cared and never existed. That was my response to that fucking cunt.
Yeah. I usually, when it's a Christian or an avowed Christian, I think there's a really easy, simple response.
Yeah.
Let's see that turn in the other cheek you guys talk about
so
much.
Yeah, Hicks.
Go right ahead. Well, go right ahead and turn the other cheek.
That thing you said about Jesus? That's wrong what you said. Forgive me. I love Hicks.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Forgive, yeah. Forgive me.
Well, you know, on
go ahead,
Twitter,
forgive me.
Mm-hmm. On Twitter, the hashtag God is not great was going crazy after Hitchens died. Mm. And some Christians took that as a war on God and basically retweeted and lashed out at us. Death threats, sure.
Just like Jesus
harm,
would have done,
you know. and that was my response. Oh, you're so Jesus-like.
Yeah. Because when you've got the Almighty, all powerful on your side, you really need to be like getting Twitter to take a trending topic down.
He needs you to defend him. So you know what I'm saying. He needs that.
We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store.
Today's episode brought to you by Fundamentalists. If it weren't for them, we'd probably be fisting right now. Wait, what?
And now back to Ardent Atheist, nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Amy Engelhart, Alex Stein, and David Avalone. Am I saying your name right?
You are. It's actually kind of beautiful to hear.
It's really like nice. It's really nice. Avalone.
Well, now it's why like would you do tuna. That to the man? He came
it's,
to the show.
You know, it's a common thing.
You know, I know David pretty well.
Yeah,
she does.
I see him twice a month with a drink in his
at
hand,
the very
walking
least.
Around.
Yep.
You're seeing him twice a month?
Yes, honey.
This is how I have to find out?
And last month I was naked when I saw him.
Oh, my
she was.
God.
She ripped her shirt right off. I saw it.
I ripped it open.
Yep.
Bitch.
And then she handed me a big pile of money.
Put him up, sir.
And you still don't believe in God.
Right? It's amazing. I managed to accomplish all that in an evening without believing in God. That's the amazing thing.
Yes, he's my pimp.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
No, that's on the Victory Variety Hour.
Which is?
The burlesque show that happens at Skinny's in North Hollywood every 2 weeks now.
Yes, on Lancashire. There is no Christmas Eve burlesque show. We're taking that night off. But
to drink.
I think January 14th is our next show.
Yeah.
Margaret Cho will be on the bill.
Again.
Yes. Margaret's coming back.
She's fantastic. I'll be there for that one. I was sick for the last one.
I got to open, sort of, for her. Yeah. I got to go on right before Margaret Cho. And
that means
awesome.
Something else. I got to open for her.
I got to. Oh my! And we saw her vagina.
I'm here to watch.
She covered it with a dildo, right?
Yeah. Well, she like taped a big schlong with balls to her crotch, and she's been working out, and she looks freaking amazing.
She's
she has
in
her
very
total,
nice shape.
Her whole stomach tattooed.
I love Margaret Cho.
She's beautiful, and she came out with those faces and did the whole striptease.
Did you just say beautiful?
She's beautiful.
Beautiful. I wanted to have David on the show because we went to the Christmas party at your house the other day. And
yes,
I'm standing
the Victory
there,
Variety Hour Christmas party.
And I overhear him talking about how he approaches Christmas.
Well, just to give a little background, I was raised by my father was Roman Catholic and my mother was Jewish.
Oh, wow.
They were both essentially atheists, though I think my father would have called himself an agnostic. He's one of those people who – one of my least favorite expressions is there are no atheists in foxholes because I think there are a lot
Not only do you think it, it's absolutely and abjectly true. We have proof. We have people who stand up and go, yeah.
And my father's lack of interest in the Catholic Church actually started during World War II. He was standing online for confession right before going overseas. And there were a couple of teenage girls online in front of him waiting to see the priest. And he thought, you know – I'm about to go commit murder on a fairly large scale. Right. I am a fornicator. I have a lot of actual sins that I can point to. What the hell are these teenage girls actually capable? Like, on a scale of evil, of unleashing darkness into the world, firing machine guns into crowds of people seemed to him... And he was not, and he knew he was not going to be reprimanded by the priest for going off to war. He was going to be congratulated, and the two girls in front of him were going to get a slap on the wrist for thinking bad thoughts about Johnny in English class.
Right.
And that just seemed
in other
so,
words, he did the math.
Yeah, it seemed so morally absurd to him that he turned on his combat boot and walked out of the church and never went back, except for weddings and funerals, and whatever. And my mother, when she was five, a car hit her dog, and someone was dumb enough to say to a hyper-rational, very intelligent 5-year-old Jewish girl, God loved your dog so much that he wanted to bring. And my mother said, well, then God's an asshole.
Right,
killing,
right.
Yeah.
Who goes around killing dogs and making 5-year-old girls cry? That's crazy.
I love the story. I wish there were more like it.
So the and my mother also, I have to tell this story because it's Christmas time. Knowing what kind of kid I was and how I looked at the world, when I was like 6 or 7, we were out shopping somewhere and we saw a department store, Santa Claus.
Should we hum a Christmas tune?
Sure, right, go right ahead. Yeah. And I'm sure I turned to her at some point after seeing the third Santa Claus in a row. I said, hey, these guys all can't be Santa Claus, and none of these guys are Santa Claus. That's a ridiculous costume. The guy's beard is fake. This is bullshit. And my mother
said that at 6.
Yeah,
at 6, he's fighting the urge to direct.
Pretty much.
And your mom said, God loves Santa Claus.
No,
so
my
much,
mother, my mother, God bless her, kept the magic alive while still like figuring out what would be logical to me. She said, well, you've stumbled upon the secret. And the secret is that, of course, one guy on a sled can't be in every household. That's absurd. And obviously it's absurd. And you're a good little boy for figuring that out. Santa Claus is a massive global conspiracy. And all parents are members of the conspiracy to help Santa Claus bring toys to children across the world. And I went, well, that makes perfect sense. And not only that, what's beautiful about it is it preserves the tiniest bit of magic while also being essentially true.
It is. It's literally, in the literal sense, it's accurate.
Yeah, it's accurate.
A lesser child, a lesser mind would have split into 3 personalities minimum at that moment, right then. But so kudos
to
you.
The thing we were talking about at the party, which is why you asked me to be on the show, is last year I was thinking about the holiday and I was thinking about religion. And the first thing that occurred to me is I've celebrated Christmas every year I've been alive and sentient, but I've never celebrated the birth of Christ in my life.
Right.
And the perfect example, thinking about it, is how the Grinch stole Christmas. You'll notice that the Whoville residents call it Christmas, but there are no crosses in their houses. They're not Christians. And nice. In fact, they have antenna, so they're not actually even human. They're
right.
not even the same species right. as
human.
Jesus Christ.
They're human.
They're on some other planet where they somehow have this holiday called right. Christmas, but they've dropped all the nonsense. And there's no real Santa Claus in the world. You'll notice that the Grinch doesn't run into Santa Claus.
But all that means is that Jesus went to that planet too.
Right.
And they weren't barbarians who put him on a fucking cross.
Right.
That's all it means. They might have put him on a hill.
Sure.
Okay, go on.
But the point is that there's no – that show is actually a pretty good example of
– You can make it up.
Of a secular kind of – we can celebrate Christmas and it can be about love and family and whatever. Right. So anyway, thinking about all that.
Wait. What is that thing where, you know, if Jesus comes back and sees everybody wearing crosses, he'd be pretty pissed off.
Right.
That's what he was nailed up on.
Yep. Yeah. Like of all the things – really, that was the image you wanted to go with. Not like a manger or the fish. The fish thing was nice for a while. But no, remind me of that everywhere I go. That's awesome. Every room I walk into, there's a giant bleeding statue of the worst moment of my life. That's great. Thanks. I really
there are worst images that they could have come up with, you know, right. like a Roman kicking him in the head and shit like that. That would be
or the Mel Gibson movie.
There you go. Yeah. There's all kinds of images they could glean from that horror.
I have the Mel Gibson movie hung on my wall.
Fucking
nice.
Yeah.
So anyway, so thinking about all that, and so the basic concepts are this. One is that where all religions get into trouble and they get hung up is you're talking about 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 year old folk tales told by 20 different people that have been collected in one book, and they all contradict each other and they're all bullshit and they all have to insist on their reality. So I thought, first off, if you're going to start a new religion, why not insist on the fictionality of it? Get past the stories have to be true and insist on something that is categorically, demonstrably fake. We all
like
know
Mormonism.
Right. Mormonism is actually a really good sci-fi example.
Or the Christian faith.
Right.
They're all the
Christian
same. Every one
right.
of them.
But where they get caught up, we're going to get into comic books in a second, but there's a concept that you hear a lot in comic books called a retcon. It's a neologism, which means You fix the continuity later. The things that didn't make sense, you shoehorn in.
It's like Lost.
I only learned a couple of years ago that Christ being born in Bethlehem is one of the original retcons. He's born in Nazareth. He's Jesus of Nazareth. He's from Nazareth. Everyone knows he's from Nazareth. But when they decide after his death that he has to be the Messiah, they check the Old Testament, and unfortunately, the Messiah has to be born in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. So making it fit the old prophecy, they invent a Roman census that never happened.
Right.
They invent a Roman law that you had to go home for your census, which is completely
not true.
Not true.
None about it.
You know, not during the reign of Herod was there ever such a census.
They were amazing bookkeepers.
Yeah.
They kept so much information.
Exactly. So anyway, that's the first retcon. So first off, you talk about insisting on the fictionality of something and celebrating Christmas without Christ. And then lastly, the Christian tradition of piggybacking on other people's religions.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is born in April or September or something, but they move it to December because there's a really popular
holiday.
We don't
even know if Christ is real,
let alone
when he was born.
Right.
It's argued by scholars all across the fucking calendar.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
well, here's it. Like, we don't have that many records about Columbus.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
All we've got about Columbus is his diary. So, Jesus Christ is a little farther ago. So,
right. And he kept the rape and beatings out of it.
So building on all that, and I'm sorry this buildup takes so long, but there is a figure who is a symbol of goodness and righteousness and truth and justice who actually means something to me from my childhood.
Oh.
And I thought, well, let's
spell a new religion.
Well, let's just swap out the ridiculous 2,000-year-old fake.
Christ.
Jesus Christ for a Depression-era American savior created by a couple of Jews from Cleveland, just like Jesus Christ.
Before you say it, does anybody have a guess?
Peanut butter and jelly?
No.
Time. So
peanut butter and jelly time.
You got a hero
created by Jews from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And who, like Moses, was placed in a little basket at a time of an apocalypse and picked up as an orphan and raised by people who weren't his own parents.
Leela from Futurama.
Exactly.
3030.
Yeah, so basically what I decided was, in the spirit of Christianity co-opting the solstice, I would co-opt Christianity and choose December 25th as the date that Superman's rocket lands in Smallville, Kansas.
I love that.
And his name in Kryptonian
is Kal-El, which has the suffix of, it means child of light or child of heaven in Hebrew.
Son of God,
yeah.
Perhaps?
Yeah. So there's a lot of religious imagery that Siegel and Shuster, the two guys that created the character.
Mm-hmm. How many listeners right now are having a nerdgasm?
Have you taken this anywhere?
Well, I wrote an essay on Facebook called In Which I Propose a New Messiah and laid out some of the things. And I've been working on it a little bit. It started with just Kentmas. And even that, I had to think about what I was going to call it. I like Kentmas because
it's nice.
You celebrate the human rather than the divine. You celebrate because here's the thing. He's the opposite of Jesus Christ. He's the guy who literally can fly and walk through walls. But he doesn't make a big deal about it. And he walks around as he actually kind of prefers to walk around in street clothes and not be noticed and and be a human being.
Wow, the parallels are kind of stunning.
Right?
Are you saying that Jesus had a secret identity and when he wasn't being the Messiah?
Well, that's sort of my joke, is that he's a regular guy. He's a rabbi that walked around telling everybody he was the Son of God. And then you've got the Son of God who walks around telling everybody, I'm a mild-mannered reporter from a great metropolitan newspaper.
Mild-mannered version of Jesus?
That's a very good question.
Well,
and also, I mean,
Judas is where I was
the history is, I would doubt very seriously that Jesus Christ walked around and said he was the Son of God. That was after he was dead. The Roman Emperor Augustus, the coin said Son of God on them. So you can only fight the Son of God with the Son of God.
Right.
So they needed a non-Augustus Son of God to fight the Roman Empire with.
Right.
And then 300 years later, it becomes the state religion of the Roman Empire. And that's what we have. We have the Roman Empire's version of this perfectly nice desert religion started by a perfectly nice young rabbi, I'm sure. But anyway, so
are you saying this is a huge conspiracy that all parents are in on?
Kinda, yeah. Kinda. But yeah, so the additional holidays that I've been working on is instead of Christmas Eve, we have the Feast of the Deceleration. which is
the
when
ship
you
coming in.
You celebrate on Christmas Eve, on Kentmas Eve, you celebrate the Jor-El's rocket coming out of hyperspace.
I think I'll have to ask you to adjust your attitude, jet, sir.
And yeah, exactly. And entering Earth orbit. And on, I came up with a new one today that I'm very proud of. For New Year's Eve, or for New Year's Day, New Deal Day. Because he arrives on Earth in the 1930s.
Yeah.
And he's an illegal alien,
literally.
What did Ma and Pa Kent have to do in 1936 when they found that rocket? They had to take that baby to the Social Security office and forge some government documents and get themselves a nice FDR-manded Social Security card for little Clark Kent.
Wow.
So so their first act in the first of the year is forging government documents on New Deal Day. We celebrate the progressive spirit of the 1930s in which Superman was born and raised. And those are the values of those comics. I had an argument with someone on some ultra nerd website about, you know, the political aspiration, the political leanings of the characters. I'm like, Bruce Wayne is the Republican. He's the guy that believes that might makes right, and he's a billionaire. He's one of the 1%. Superman is a farm boy raised in the Depression to really poor parents. Right. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say he's a New Deal Democrat.
Well, now that I'm thinking about it, I just did this whole thing where I was studying the WPA and all that stuff. And I'm pretty sure that the Photographers Project and Dorothea Lange, there's photos of very Kent-like people.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure that if we look closer, we could find... Yeah, the small, ship, dare I say.
Yeah, Smallville is definitely on the edge of the Dust Bowl. I mean, it's definitely. And the last new holiday I came up with this year is Kryptonica, which the date moves every year, of course, because the Kryptonian calendar is not the same as ours.
Sounds a little stripper.
And we take the 8 days of Hanukkah and we take 8 days to celebrate the obliterated home world and the ancient culture that is utterly meaningless in the 21st century, and you know, celebrate the traditions and light the Kryptonica candles and all that kind of thing.
You know, this is funny and silly and wonderful, but if it catches on, I'm killing myself.
Can you read my mind?
But wouldn't it be nice to have a religion where people don't think it's real?
where people know it's unreal blatantly.
Yeah, where people walk around saying, well, of course, it's all made up bullshit written by a bunch of Jews from New York. You know, but, who cares?
But that raises an interesting point, too. Do you think that when Christianity first started, there were people who thought this is completely ridiculous and just total and complete bullshit, and then you know, over time they lost track of the fact that these are just stories designed to get you to act a specific
way? I have always said that I don't believe the rabbis that wrote the book of Genesis thought they knew it actually happened that way. I think they were probably pretty clear that they were setting down a series of beautiful metaphors and analogies.
I think that's true of all structured religions.
Yeah.
I think all structured
religions.
You know,
you're right. Speaking as a writer, you know you're making it up when you're writing it.
What about Joseph Smith?
Oh, total con man. I don't believe for a second he believed any of that.
Yeah.
But we're really talking about a time when there was much unexplained shit in the
right.
world.
And now there is
so
not.
So there was just, this is a way for humans to kind of pin it down and say, this is why this is happening.
Right.
When there is no actual science or industry or things like that.
And
so,
people who aren't in touch with the computer or aren't in touch with, you know, what's going on around the rest of the world, they don't realize that the only reason why there's earthquakes and more earthquakes happening now and more hurricanes and things happening now is because we just know about them.
Right.
Right.
It's pretty much the same.
Yeah, no, I remember in the 90s it was commonly believed that crime was on the rise and that school shootings were on the rise, and the statistics were exactly the opposite of that. And I'm like, no, CNN is on the rise.
Right. No one cares about the statistics. They only care about the reporting. The reporting is always hyperbolic.
Yeah.
Always bullshit. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today, we'd like to give a shout out to the Center for Inquiry. Please go to cfiwest.org and donate, because the Center for Inquiry is working to promote and defend reason, science, and freedom of inquiry in all areas of human endeavor.
What?
Yes.
And I was married there, believe it or not.
Were you really?
I was, in fact, that's married.
Are you sure?
Wait a minute. I have to come back to the show. And now, back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Amy Engelhart, Alex Stein, and David Avalone, who was married?
At the Center for Inquiry West.
It's a great place to get married.
By a midget with dogs?
No, actually by Gary Shapiro.
Oh.
Really?
Rabbi Gary Shapiro.
Gary Shapiro is also in the Victory Variety
Hour. He is our MC.
Also a guest on the show many times here.
And he married you and Penny J. Starr Jr.
Penny Starr Jr., yep.
That's so
Penny
nice.
Penny Starr Jr., sorry, not the J. Yes.
I can marry people.
Can you?
Yeah. I got the thing from the deal on the internet with this.
Nice. Yeah, he paid $5 and filled out the application.
Sweet. It was $20 or $30.
And filled out the application.
Yeah.
That was it.
Anybody can do it.
Nice.
Which I think is right. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody should be able to perform bullshit ceremonies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's cool. Gary Rich.
But yeah, we were having trouble finding a place to get married, and I was there for a show and looked around and went, you know, this is kind of the closest thing to an atheist church I will ever find. So let me get married in the atheist church.
That's super great.
With the bust of Steve Allen.
It's really wonderful. Yeah, the bust of Steve Allen.
Under the avuncular gaze of Steve Allen.
Nice.
You know, Amy and I were married at the northernmost saloon in the world, above the Arctic Circle.
Nice.
By the bartender.
In Coldfoot, Alaska.
Nice.
What the hell?
Were there any fictional animals there?
There were a lot of fictional animals.
Like what? Can you name a fictional animal that was at your wedding?
Well, our instead of a ring bearer, we had a ring moose.
Yes. Oh, you did?
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome.
A plush moose named Marty.
Who was my agent at the time.
So you had a plushy wedding? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well,
okay.
I don't want to go there.
It was a furry.
You guys
were
furries,
the wild
huh?
things there too?
No, but I do quickly want to mention doorknobs, unicorns, and Hitler.
Wait a minute.
But not that fourth
Who
thing.
Were not present
Wait
at the
a minute.
No, they were not there.
What's your favorite coin? If you had to pick one, if you had to pick between the penny
and
the 5 cent piece, which would you pick?
It's strange you ask that because if I had a nickel...
Please.
Every time I've been asked that, I would have exactly 10 cents.
Nice.
Ding.
I don't know what any of that means.
Cameron Winters was wrong. Wrong, I tell you.
He said the secret word. He goes home with $500. Thank you.
Cameron posted on Ardent Atheist Wall, Alex Stein, writer of the Clicks and Pops blog, will be saying words out of his face mouth on tonight's show. Doorknob, unicorn, Hitler, and nigger are all examples of words. But I wouldn't count on Alex saying any of them tonight.
He's
well,
so wrong.
There you go.
Alex, could you open the door with the
with a nigger?
With a nigger, yeah.
No.
It had to be done.
I'm waiting for Superman to open the door for us.
There you go.
He will turn what to open the door?
What do you turn to open the
door? The doorknob?
That's exactly
yes, he
right.
Did it. He said it.
Why didn't something drop down from the ceiling? And
I was waiting for the duck,
Cameron
actually.
Cameron's yeah. dropping down from the ceiling in a minute.
Are we really out of time already?
Where does Cameron winter?
Cameron.
Oh, that's good.
There you go.
That is beautiful.
Strangely enough, Cameroon.
Now you're making me hungry.
I want my nickel back.
No, I want my nickel back, nickel back, no, nickel no, back, please.
Nobody wants nickel back.
No.
Yeah.
No,
at least
nobody.
So I shouldn't like nickel back?
No.
Right.
I'm not the one to tell you.
You can like them in the Facebook way, but not
I'll,
in a real
I'll like
way.
Them in the face book. Amy, tell me about the music we played earlier and what we're going to play here in a few moments.
Oh, sure. The music you played earlier, How Did This Thing Get In Me, was a recording done with the Bobs. A wonderful band.
Hold on, Amy. We've lost you audio-wise. Yeah. That's really odd.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Back.
All right. Oh, it's the cord or something.
So tell me, Amy, about these music that you've brought to us.
For a little under 14 years, I was a member of this wonderful band called The Bobs, and that was a recording that I did with them that Dr. Demento plays every year.
That's pretty great. Dr. Demento plays my daughter's song, a wonderful nerd song. It's awesome.
Yay!
I Kissed a Nerd.
Yes, and he also plays the song you're going to use to close the podcast with. And I'm thrilled to say that both of them them were played last week on the same show. So I had two tunes in last week's Dr. Wow. Demento
Let's
show.
Enjoy it now.
I can die happy.
There you go. For comedy, let's do three or four false starts. That's great. There we go.
Psych.
When the dreidel spin, now I've got a reason to go and light something. Let's burn torches, let's make scorches. Hanukkah, of course, is 8 days a week.
Let's
consult the Torah for lessons we can learn.
Brian Epstein did it drunkenly, but no one was paying attention.
No one could tell he was drunk.
Yeah.
This is the most festive show we've ever had.
This is the only festive show we've had.
Yeah. We should have eggnog.
We have a ho ho in it.
Well, a ho ho?
We have three hoes?
It's not enough to show I care. Baruch Atah Adonai.
A little bit of Jew babble in there.
It's a shocking lack of Hebrew in Beatles songs.
It sounded like Hawaiian when it went by.
It did, didn't it?
Parson. Hoi vey.
I'm Catharson.
Nice. Catharson. Really? That's awesome.
8 days a week.
The Greek geek in me.
You wrote this. Oh, Amy wrote this.
Yeah, the music too. Not.
And you're singing every part too.
I don't think that's a shame.
Next time I'll be careful where I set the flame. Sleigh bells, tinklers, candles, twinklers. Make sure you've got sprinklers.
There was a lot of lisp in that. Wow. It was wonderful. Thank you so much, Amy.
You're very welcome.
I want to thank all my guests for being here today. I thank David. Thank you for coming
in. Thank you.
It was a last-minute thing at your party, and I was so glad you were available. Alex, thanks for coming back.
Thank you very much.
Are you an atheist yet?
I kind of am.
All right. That's absolutely wonderful.
Do I have to say nigger now?
You can. Amazing. That's it for episode 45. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I was laughing too hard. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Facebook publicist, Cameron Winters, and our Wall of Reason moderator, Joe Swam.
Thank you guys. Really, really, it was a blast having you.
I only wish it lasted 8 days like the oil.
8 days. It would be so nice. It would be a miracle.
Or 2 hours.
It would.
It's not going to last 8 days. Everybody wants us to do it. Everybody wants us to do it for 2 hours. We shouldn't do a 2-hour show, should we?
No.
You'd get sick of it.
Maybe 75 minutes.
Anything to plug, by the way?
I already plugged the next Victory Variety Hour.
Is it easy?
Amy, what are you doing with your life lately?
I just wrote a musical, too, actually, so I found Eric fascinating, and mine's called Bastard Jones, and you can find that at bastardjones.com.
Well, there you go. Alex?
At Coldfoot Films on Twitter and clicksandpops.blogspot.com.
There you go. Thank you very much for being here,
everybody.
You can
ask me if I had it.
Do you have anything to plug?
Nope.
I have something to plug.
Me.
Hello! You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.